Learning Nefesh HaChaim, Shah Dalad, the very last paragraph of chapter 15 of Shah Dalad, Perek Tesvov. So we've been speaking about, up to here in the paragraph, we've been speaking about that someone who learns Torah is engaged in Torah, so he, all sorts of troubles run away from him. If a person has any type of harmful forces, it could be spiritual harmful forces, or even physical harmful sources, like problems that a person might have, or tzoras that a troubles that a person has, sickness that a person has, a person not feeling well. So Torah is the remedy for these things. If a person engages properly in Torah, then all the afflictions that should come on a person in this world don't come on him. The function of the afflictions is only when we're not serving Hashem correctly. So when we're not doing what Hashem wants us to do, so we get reminders. So that's why we have sufferings, that's why we have tzoras, troubles, that's why we have sickness. But it's only because we're not doing what we're supposed to do. So it's like the teacher only reprimands the student when he's not behaving himself. If the student is behaving well, the teacher is happy with the student. He smiles at the student. He doesn't have to rebuke the student. The student's behaving himself. So this is one of the things that when we occupy ourselves in Torah, which is the ultimate form of living our lives, the ultimate engagement in this life is to be engaged in Torah. That's the ultimate connection. That's your highest connection is through Torah. It's higher even than mitzvahs. So then obviously all sorts of tzoras run away from a person. They leave him totally alone. And that's what we bring out here also in the last paragraph as follows. This is a Gemara in Soita. Ken Amru Bepe Gimel the Soita that Torah Agune Magne Mina Yisurim. That it says that Torah, the fact that a person studies Torah, so that protects him from all types of afflictions, all types of sufferings. Both at the time when he's engaged in the Torah and even when he's not engaged in the Torah. The Gemara over there speaks about when a person is engaged in a mitzvah. So mitzvah also has a protection. We speak about that someone is keeping a mitzvah, shluchei mitzvah, ein nizokin, right? Someone's on his way to perform a mitzvah, he's not damaged. So the Gemara explains there that specifically when he's engaged in a mitzvah, but let's say you've finished your mitzvah, you've gone home already, everything's over, so you don't have that protection. The protection of the mitzvah is while you're occupied with the mitzvah, you have the protection of the mitzvah. But when you're not occupied with the mitzvah, then you don't have that protection. Now, Torah is different. Torah is different because Torah, what happens with Torah is Torah lingers on. For instance, if you've been learning Torah, so you've been engaging your mind in new ideas, and when you learn a new idea, so it stays in your mind. You can't stop thinking about it. Even though you've closed the books, you finish your learning session, you've gone home, but the thought, that the concept that you absorbed is still floating through your mind, especially if it's a new idea, something that needs puzzling over, something that needs resolving. Sometimes it's an idea that's a very, very puzzling idea. It's not an easy idea to absorb. So therefore, the idea stays in your mind. So therefore, it says about Torah that it protects you while you're engaged with Torah and even when you're not engaged with Torah. Because that's the nature of Torah, is that it's something it's a reality that can fill your existence. Whereas a physical act, like a mitzvah, so while you engage in the physical act, so you have that protection. When you stop engaging, so then you leave it alone. I'm drawing water out of a well. So while I'm holding the bucket and I'm pulling the rope and I'm bringing up the water and lowering down the bucket, I'm bringing up the bucket from the well, etc. So I'm actually physically engaged in bringing up the water out of the well. I'm doing that activity, but if I stop, I stop. Then I go home, then it's over. But with Torah, it continues to exist in our mind. That's why Torah can protect you, whether you're engaged in Torah, or even when you're not engaged with Torah. That's part of the power of Torah. Kihigim losu rak toi veleiro kol yomechayehu. Now that's a posuk from the Eishes Chayil. The Eishes Chayil, that Shlomo HaMelech, is at the very end of the book of Mishlei, the end of the book of Proverbs, the last chapter, are these verses which we call the Eishes Chayil, which we have the custom to sing on Friday nights. So really, it all comes from Mishlei. It's the last chapter of Mishlei. And Eishes Chayil is not actually referring to the lady of the house, even though at the simple meaning that's what it's referring to. At the deeper meaning, it's talking about the Torah. The woman of valor is the Torah. And in a sense, we need to marry the Torah. We have to be married to the Torah. So therefore, the Torah can be our wife. If we connect with the Torah in the proper way, then she is a wife. So just like a wife serves her husband, is faithful to her husband, helps her husband, boosts her husband, supports her husband, encourages her husband. So similarly, the Torah does that for us. Obviously, you have to, just like you have to treat a wife with a lot of respect, We have to show the Torah a lot of respect. If we're disrespectful for the Torah, then the Torah can get upset with us and she closes up to us. She doesn't help us anymore. So we can, if we show disregard for the Torah, so sometimes the Torah closes up to us. That's when sometimes when you come to learn something and you can't understand anything. It could be that we haven't been treating the Torah with proper respect, so the Torah is closed to us. We don't get to see the secrets of the Torah. We need to connect with the Torah. So anyway, that whole song which speaks about this faithful wife, the woman of Vela, is referring to the Torah and how we can have this special relationship with the Torah. There's an idea quickly worthwhile mentioning, and that's as follows, that what is our role? Our role in this world, are we, the Jewish people, do they have the feminine role or do they have the masculine role? From what we've just described here, seemingly the Jewish people engage in Torah, so the Jewish people have the masculine role. They are the husband, and the Torah is the bride, is the wife. And we engage in the Torah, so therefore we are the masculine role, and we engage in the Torah, which is the feminine role. We've got a similar analogy also in terms of Shabbos. And how do we call Shabbos? We call Shabbos the Queen Shabbos, Shabbos Malkasa. Or we say also in the Lecha Dodi, we say, boy kala, come bride, come bride. So we speak of Shabbos as a wife. Shabbos is a wife to the Jewish people, so the Jewish people play the male role, and Shabbos is the female role. However, in terms of our relationship with Hashem, so then it speaks about when Hashem gave the Torah at Sinai, so Hashem was like the groom, and the Jewish people was like the bride. In terms of receiving from Hashem, so we have to receive from Hashem, and then we become the receiver. So normally the woman's role classically is portrayed by the receiving role. So in terms of Hashem, we receive from Hashem. So therefore we play the woman's role. The Jewish people who stood around the mountain, it's like the bride who goes around the groom seven times. The Jewish people stood around the mountain. Hashem came down on the mountain and gave the Torah to the Jewish people. So Hashem had the male role, the Jewish people the female role. But in terms of learning Torah, so then we have the male role because it's our input. Our input is what brings the Torah to life, like we're learning here. If we learn Torah with a lot of energy, with a lot of thought, a lot of focus, a lot of concentration, so we bring the Torah to life. So therefore also a wife waits for her husband to sort of bring her to life. He's the one who implants his energies into her, and then she is able to produce. He implants what he has into her, and then she's able to produce the fetus, the child, the infant. So therefore it's our input that brings the wife into existence. So it's our input in terms of learning Torah. If you don't learn Torah, then it's just a book on the shelf. And it's there. The book on the shelf is nothing. It's only when we engage in Torah that we bring the Torah to life. And same thing with Shabbos. When we give honor to Shabbos, so we bring Shabbos to life. We make Shabbos special. Otherwise, Shabbos is just another day in the week. The person doesn't keep Shabbos. So Shabbos is nothing. It's just another day. It's another day. It's not different to Friday. It's not different to Sunday. It's not different to any other day of the week. It's only our input that makes it special. So that's why that's the female role in terms of Shabbos. It's also the female role in terms of Torah. So now, in speaking of the Torah as the woman of Vela, so the Nefesh HaChaim here quotes one of the verses from Mishle as follows. Gemlasut rak toiv v'leiro. She bestows on him. She is the faithful wife. She's the wife, the woman of Vela. And she bestows on him only goodness and nothing evil. No evil. She only does good for him. The Torah is this type of wife to us, that she only gives us goodness and nothing negative. It's all positive. It's all good. It's all for our benefit. Kol yemei chayeh, all the days of her life. Now, our entire time that we engage with the Torah, and we've got the Torah at our side, we are married to the Torah, so then we only get goodness from the Torah. Only protection, only goodness, and that's, right, and it, just like a man won't be with his wife 24/7, he's not with his wife all the time. So even though he goes off to work, his wife is at home and she's preparing the house for him, she's cleaning the house for him, she's doing the laundry for him, maybe she's preparing a meal for him, she's bringing up his children, she's taking care of his children for him. So therefore their relationship is an ongoing relationship, even though he's not home all the time. Now your relationship with your wife is not only while you're with your wife, and then when you leave your wife, your relationship is over. It's an ongoing relationship. So the same thing with Torah. And that's how the Torah can protect us when we're learning Torah, and even when we're not learning Torah. When we have to take a break from learning Torah, we still have the protection from the Torah. So that's part of the idea here. Hainu afilu be'idna delu osikbo. Right? She bestows only goodness on us even when we're not engaged in the Torah. Called manshu dobuk v'loy perish hashu shalom l'chayu ilam azeh. As long as a person is clinging still to the Torah. Now, he's taken a break. Takes a coffee break. Whatever it is, he goes to sleep for the night. So he takes a break from actually engaged in Torah, but he is still married to the Torah. He doesn't leave the Torah. He says, I'm coming back. Right? He closes the book. He says, I'll be back. I have to go deal with something. I'll be back in half an hour. I'll be back in an hour. I'll be back in 2 hours. But a person always has it in mind to come back to the Torah. So therefore, as long as a person's always coming back to the Torah, he's always attached to the Torah, even though he's not actually physically engaged in learning Torah, but his intention is always to come back to the Torah, so therefore, that's considered that he is married to the Torah and he has the protection of the Torah. In terms of halach, there's also a practical application. We make a bracha in the morning for learning Torah. Last week, there's a bracha we make on the Torah. Now, everyone makes that bracha. Where the person sitting and learning all day, let's say he's a working man. So he makes the bracha in the morning. He says a few verses of Torah. That's a bit of learning. And he davens shachris, and then he goes off. And he's off to work. And he only comes back to his learning maybe 10 hours later or 12 hours later. So isn't that an interruption? Don't you have to make a new bracha on the Torah? So the locha is, it's not called an interruption. Since the Jewish person's intention that whenever he gets an opportunity to learn, he's intending to come back, he's on his way back. Even in the morning when he's leaving the Beis HaMidrash, he's going off to work, his intention all along is to come back and learn whenever he gets the opportunity. When he gets a chance again, he will be coming back to learn. Even if it's only 10, 12 hours later, that is an intention. So it counts. The locha says that the brocha you make in the morning counts for the entire day. Now, when you go to sleep at night and it's a new day, so if it's a new day, we make a new bracha. We make a new bracha on learning Torah every single day. But even though there's a huge break of hours and hours in between, our mind is always on learning Torah. And that's how the Torah is. It protects us at all times. So we only have to be the type of person who connects with Torah and commits himself to Torah, and then we have the protection of the Torah. We start now Perek Tet Zayin, chapter 16. Now there's other benefits. We said that the Torah protects you from sickness, from troubles, from tzoras, all sorts of problems. But there also something the Torah does for us, that it removes from us all types of distractions and preoccupations and bother, things that you have to take care of. You know, I have to go, I have to go to a government office, I have to get a stamp in my documents, bureaucratic red tape, green tape, white tape, whatever it is. You've got the blue tape at the government offices, and you've got to go to see the tax man, and you've got to see the receiver of revenue, whatever it is. All the bothers and toil of everyday living, the Torah also saves us from all of that. It's all of these matters which are called the yoke of Derech Eretz. Now the word Derech Eretz means the way of the world. And the way of the world means if you live in this world, so then you've got to earn a living, and you've got to pay your rent, and you've got to pay your lights and water, and you've got to do your laundry, and you've got to do your shopping, and you've got to do all sorts of things, all sorts of occupations, all sorts of tirdus, all sorts of bothers, you know, all sorts of bothering details we have to take care of when we're living in this world. All that is called Derech Eretz. Derech Eretz encompasses all types of bother and trouble, paying your bills, etc. It's all part of the trouble of living in this world. However, there's a special gift that when a person engages in the Torah, he gets freed of all that bother. Ma'avim alav, they remove from him the yoke of Derech Eretz, engagement in this world. The way it works is heavenly help that helps us to take care of these issues in a very simple way, in a very easy way, in a very, very comfortable way, in a convenient way. Where someone suddenly steps in and helps you, someone suddenly takes care of it for you, someone helps you get it done. And you have that heavenly help. And the others, why should it be different? Why should someone who's learning Torah, why is he different from everyone else? Everyone else has to go shopping. Everyone else has to pay his bills, so why should he be different? He also has to go shopping. He also has to pay his bills. He also has to do the laundry. So seemingly there is a special heavenly help. The hand of Hashem is helping the person who engages in turn. That's what it means here, that they take off the yoke of Derech Eretz. They take the yoke of living in this world like normal people. All types of distractions which disturb us from learning Torah. You see, it's Hashem's interest that we should learn. If we've committed ourselves to learning, then it's Hashem's interest that we should engage completely in learning Torah. If we're working on his behalf, so then he'll take care of it for us. He'll take care of these issues for us. Give an analogy as follows. Let's say a company hires an executive. And this executive is so good. He's making so much money for this company. He's such a top, top executive. He's such a top worker. They so value him. So what are they going to do? They're going to make sure he has a private driver and he's got a private secretary and everything is taken. Yeah. All the red tape, all the office activities is all taken care for him. Why? Because he's such a top performer. We don't want him to have any distractions at all. So he gets the best office, yeah, and he gets a personal assistant. He gets everything. Everything is laid on so that he should be totally free to work for the company. We don't want to use up his time, his precious time, doing routine type of activities. So everything's going to be taken care of for him so that he's totally free to serve the company. So the same thing with Torah. If a person is totally committed to learning Torah, so Hashem arranges from heavens that this person should be totally free for all the type of activities that normal people have to take care of. Normal people have to go shopping, they have to pay their bills, etc., etc. Hashem will free the Torah scholar from all of these activities. He'll make sure that there's someone else to help him, someone to step in and to make sure that it works for him, so that he's totally free, that he can devote his time as much as possible to learning Torah. That's the analogy here, and that's the idea behind it. In other words, we are working for Hashem, and it's in Hashem's interest. He wants us to be learning Torah as much as possible, and therefore he's going to facilitate that, and he's going to help us to make that happen. And this is what it says in Pirkei Avos, Kol HaMekabel Alav Oil Torah, someone who takes on himself the yoke of the Torah. Now, what's the yoke of the Torah? Just like you put a yoke around the shoulders of an ox. An oxen in the old days used to pull a plow. In the old days before there were tractors, they used to put a yoke on the shoulders of an ox, and the yoke was normally a big, heavy wooden beam, and that's sort of lodged onto his shoulder, and then the ox can't free himself of that, and the only thing he can do is he can start pulling that yoke, and that yoke in the meantime is attached to a plow, and that plow is dug into the ground. So as the ox pulls on the yoke, so too he plows up the ground behind him. So therefore our occupation in learning Torah is also considered a yoke. It's the obligation and the commitment of learning Torah. So someone who takes on the yoke of learning Torah, he commits himself to that obligation. So ma'avir mimenu, so they free him from other types of yoke. Because there are all sorts of yokes in this world. So there's the yoke of Malchus, of the kingdom, of the kingship. The government will leave him alone. You know, the government also puts a yoke on us. They want us to do army service. They want us to do civil duties, right? The civil guard. Or they want us to pay taxes. And they're after us all the time. They always want stuff from us. Right? You paid your tax last month. All right, so now pay it this month. So I say, I paid taxes. I paid last year. I paid you all my taxes last year. Okay, now it's a new year. Now you pay us again. So therefore, there's the yoke of the government. The government makes demands of its citizens. But someone who commits himself to Torah is freed from that type of yoke. The yoke of the government. And also the yoke of engagement in this world, which is the normal daily activity that most people have to take care of. Hashem organizes that he should be freed from that. For Omru b'midbar, Rabba also says in the Midrash, in the Tanhuma, Shemizyatam nitna Torah b'midbar. So the Midrash says that's the reason why Torah was given to the Jewish people in the desert. Why was the Torah given in the desert? So it says the Midrash, Kashem Shib, the Midbar, Einu Nizra, Einu Neva, just like a desert is a place where there's no sowing, you don't sow crops, and you don't plow fields, you're in the desert. There's no sowing of crops, there's no working the field, there's no harvesting, there's none of the farm work that a person there normally has. So the idea is, why was it given in the desert? It's to teach us this idea that someone who takes on the yoke of learning Torah, that we free him of the yoke of regular daily living. And just like in the desert, if you live in the desert, you don't pay municipal taxes either. You don't pay the municipal, rates and fees, rates and taxes that you have to pay to the municipality. So that's called Arnona. In Israel, they also speak about it, Arnona. Arnona is the municipal taxes. In the desert, you live in the desert, there are no municipal taxes. There's no rates and taxes that you have to pay. So therefore, that's also the idea of the desert, to tell us that if we're in the desert, if we can make ourselves like we're a desert to the Torah, as we're totally committed to the Torah, nothing else interests us. Just like in the desert, you have nothing else except what you're occupied in over there. If you let's say you're occupied in Torah, there's nothing else in the desert besides your Torah. So that's how it can be for a person who engages in Torah. Kach bnei Torah bnei chayim. And that's the idea, that someone who learns Torah is free. He's free of the yoke of this world. It says in the Zohar, Vayechid, the whole man, the yada, the ishtadla, v'raisa. It says, anyone who knows how to engage in Torah, v'ein oisik, it says as follows. Anyone who knows how to learn Torah, and he doesn't learn Torah, he knows how to engage in Torah, and he doesn't engage in Torah, he's liable to death penalty. If a person could be learning, he's actually got the talent, he's got the ability, he's got the understanding. Many people don't realize that they should be learning something. They don't realize that they've got that option. They don't realize that it's a lifestyle that they can actually adopt from themselves. But someone who does have this understanding, he does have this insight, and he does have the talent to do it. So the Midrash says as follows: someone who could be learning and doesn't learn is liable to death penalty. And not only that, not only will he eventually get his death penalty, he also gets the yoke of the occupation in this world, taking care of the affairs, the bothersome affairs all of this world, the shibud ra, and a evil bondage. He's bonded, he becomes a servant. He's a servant to the lifestyle of this world. He's running here and he's running there. He has to take care of this, he's taking care of that. He's like a servant. He's a bonded slave. Shekosu b'Yisachar v'yetshich mol Yisboel. And we learn that from Yisachar. Yisachar was the Torah scholar, so therefore, the way to free yourself of the bondage of this world is to be like Yisachar, who bonded himself to the learning of Torah. It says about Yisachar v'yetshich mol Yisboel. He put his shoulder to the boulder. He put his shoulder to bear the burden of the Torah. So someone who accepts the burden of the Torah, commits himself to the burden of the Torah, so he is freed of any other type of burden. But if a person doesn't do that, if a person doesn't take on the yoke of Torah, so immediately he becomes an indentured slave to matters of this world. And also this is ruled as actual practical law. As if you live in a Torah society, or even in our modern day societies, oftentimes you find that those who are sitting and learning Torah, they are exempt from taxes. This is actually halacha. The law is that if you have in your town there's some sort of tax that all the members of the town have to pay, the Torah scholars are exempt. Moshe Omro, like the Moshe Springs in the Dorim, it's permitted for a Torah scholar to say, I'm not paying the tax. He is exempt. And it's also brought as a pasuk from Ezra, right? There's no taxes for the Talmid Chacham, the Torah scholars. They are exempt. The Torah does not obligate those who are serving Hashem by learning Torah to pay taxes. And the reason makes sense, because they are actually serving the nation at a higher level. They're already doing national service. Like someone in the army is doing national service. So you're doing national service. You don't have to pay taxes as well. So if we're learning Torah, right? If we're learning Torah, so that's serving the Jewish people at the highest possible level. That's the best benefit you can possibly do for the Jewish people, is by sitting and learning Torah. So obviously you should be free of any other type of obligation. Right, so there was the Gemara does bring a story there that there was someone who wanted to charge one of the rabbis a tax. And Rav Nachman of Yitzchak told him, you have now transgressed what it says in the Torah, you've transgressed what it says in the prophets, and you've transgressed what it says in the writings. Right? And he brings those are the verses. As we have it right through the Torah, the idea that someone who's engaged in Torah should be free of any type of taxation. Ubatanav Eliyahu, in the Tanav Eliyahu, another source, it says as follows, called Talmid Chochem Sho'esid V'Torah B'chol Yom Tomid, any Torah scholar who engages in learning Torah daily, as a daily obligation, and his intention is to increase the honor of heavens, because there has to be the right intention. We're learning Torah for Hashem's honor. That's really why we're learning Torah. So if we are occupied in learning Torah and we're doing it for the honor of the heavens, he never needs to have a sword. He doesn't have to possess a sword. He doesn't need a sword. He doesn't need a spear. He doesn't need any type of protection, protective device. He doesn't need a burglar alarm system. He doesn't need high walls around his house. He doesn't need any type of protection. Right? Hashem himself protects the Torah scholar. If a person is a Torah scholar, he doesn't have to walk around with a gun, and he doesn't have to hire a security company to take care of him, because Hashem himself protects the Torah scholars. Right? For the same reason as we've been saying up to now. Because again, he's working for the boss. The boss takes care of him. Also, over there in Tanya Leo in chapter 18, if a person is a decent person and he learns a little bit of chumash every day, he learns a little bit of the written Torah a little bit every day. He receives a single angel to protect him. If A person's learning the written Torah. He learns the parsha every day. He has an angel to protect him. And there's a verse. Korah Adam Teva Nevi'im Ksuvim. But if he's more advanced, not just he's learning a bit of parsha every day, but he's actually learning the entire written Torah. Moisim Lo Yishnei Malachim. First learning at a high level, he's learning the entire written Torah, says the Tanit Bilio, they give him two angels to protect him. He commands his angels to guard you. So that's a person learning Torah at a slightly higher level. But if a person's learning at the highest level, where he's not only learning the written Torah, Vishona, Mishnah, Midrash, Halachas, by God, he's also learning the oral Torah, he's learning the Mishnah, he's learning the Halachas, all of the Halachas and the Haggadah, Vishimesh, Talmid, Chachamim, he's learning from Torah scholars, others he's learning Gemara, he's learning the depth of the Torah, the understanding, the deep understanding of the Torah. So, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Meshamru B'Atzmai. So then Hashem himself, so if a person's learning Torah at the highest level, you know, he's doing his maximum and he's doing it properly and he's investing proper energy and time and thought into it, so Hashem himself protects him. He doesn't need not one angel, not two angels, but Hashem himself protects this person. Shenema Hashem Shemrecha. Hashem is your God. When we engage in Torah in the proper way, we have Hashem himself protecting us and guarding us. And according, here comes an interesting idea, an extra idea. The idea is as follows. And according to the value of the acceptance of this individual who accepts on himself the yoke of the Torah with truth and with all of his strength, as to the degree that a person invests himself, to the degree that a person engages in Torah, so to the same degree that the bothers, the troubles of this world are removed from him. In other words, the person engages to a higher degree, so there's a higher degree of freedom. And still to a higher degree, you know, it depends on the level. A person who's putting 60% efforts, he gets 60% protection, 60% freedom. A person who's putting in 70% effort, he's doing more. So to the degree that we invest more of our energy, more of our thoughts, more of our strength and more of our abilities into learning Torah, so to that degree, we receive more and more help from the heavens. And it's like a sliding scale protection. And it depends on how much you invest. If you invest more, you get more. You invest still more, you get still more, etc., etc. And that protection of those people who learn Torah hovers over him. So it's hovering over him, and it hovers like a helicopter that hovers over you. So it comes to settle near you. Depending on how much a person's engaged in Torah, so the level of protection and heavenly help also grows accordingly. And he becomes like the son who pleads with his father. Not a father. Imagine the scene as follows. You see a father is going, he's in the supermarket or he's in the shopping store, and he's with his son, and his son's walking with his father. And his son says, "Oh, Dad, buy me that toy, please. Buy me that toy, please." And the kid says to his father, "Dad, buy me that sweet, buy me that candy, please." So and the father is, you know, he's getting so much nachas from his son. Of course, I'll buy whatever you want. Of course, I'll buy whatever you want. The father's just enjoying his son so much. He buys him whatever he wants. So that's the relationship, this father-son relationship of this father is running around with his little son through the shopping mall. The same is the type of relationship between the Torah scholar and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His father does whatever he desires, and he fulfills all of his desires. He wants his son to be happy. He wants his son to be satisfied. He's getting so much nachas from his son, so much pleasure from his son. He wants to fulfill all of his son's desires. And this is what the sages have explained concerning Torah scholars. Anyone engages in Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu oisel lechefzo. Hashem does his desires. He fulfills all of his desires. Also says in the Midrash Tehillim, Omru oid sham shekosu b'tzei v'shonu b'nevim v'shulash p'suvim. Different sources, we got it in the Torah, we got it in the Nevim, we got it in p'suvim. All different sources for the same idea. Shekola oisik b'tzeira nechosav mutzlochim. Someone who is engaged in Torah, his property succeeds, his property flourishes. Hashem takes care of his affairs. Right? He invests in something and his investment goes well, and it flourishes and it prospers and it brings in a good income. And he doesn't have to distract himself because he's worried about his property or what's doing. He doesn't have to be watching the newspapers every second day, looking at what's happening on the business page. Kodesh Baruch Hu sends a brocha, and his efforts that he makes for whatever efforts he needs to make for his own panosa, there's a special brocha that it flourishes. Hashem takes care of the desires of those who have committed themselves to serving Hashem. Over Mishle Rabs, also the Midrash Mishle brings as follows: Miyafek Rotzin Mehashem. He extracts goodwill from Hashem. He brings out Hashem's goodwill. Kol Mishu Mefik B'divrei Torah. Anyone who extracts from himself words of Torah, if we can extract from ourselves, we can activate our thoughts and activate our mouth so that words of Torah come out of our mouth, so that we are involved in Torah and we're engaged in Torah. And someone who's engaged in Torah, he starts learning Torah, he knows Torah. And then what happens? People come asking him questions. They say, oh, I have a question to ask. They go ask so-and-so. They ask so-and-so. He's learned a lot of Torah. He knows the answers. So therefore, he learns Torah, and he comes to teach Torah. Umalam de Barabim, from his learning, eventually comes to teach Torah, because he's the master of the warehouse. He's full of Torah. So therefore, people will come knocking at his door to ask him questions, and therefore, he's the one who learned. He becomes the one who teaches. Afani ba'ez rotzen mefik li rotzen. So Hashem says, oh, if he's working on my behalf, he's learning Torah, and now he's even teaching Torah, because from learning you come to teaching, I also will do his wishes. His livelihood is always ready for him. It's always on tap for him. Without any toil, with any trouble, even the smallest amount of trouble, Hashem will have his livelihood ready for him. Like it says also in the Midrash in Eish Yischiel, called Zman She Talmid Chochem Yoshev Oizig B'Torah, the entire time that a Talmid Chochem is sitting and engaging in Torah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes care of all of his needs. V'lo Eid Elish HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mamtzi Lo Mezoinoisa B'chol Yom V'Yom. Hashem, so to speak, prepares him his food day by day by day by day. He keeps supplying him with all whatever he needs. He needs food. Right. Day in, day out, his food comes to him. He doesn't have to trouble himself. Hashem brings it to him. Shinema, as the verse says, Vetita in Terif Levesa. It says also there in Eish Yischiel, she gives food to her household. When we speak about the Eish Yischiel, the woman of Ela, she feeds her whole household. And that's the Torah. The Torah feeds us, it takes care of us. Ubetanid Eliyahu said Eliyahu Rabba, another midrash, Boruch Hamokum Boruchu, blessed Hashem, blessed be his name, Sheboche B'chachomim Talmideim, who has chosen the sages and their students. Hashem has got a special preference to the sages and their students. B'shem Shem Yoishvim Batei Knesset Batei Midrashos, just like the teachers and students are sitting in the shuls and they're sitting in the yeshivas. B'chol makom shu ponoy lehem, any place they can, they sit down, they take out a book, they start learning. B'koyim yishreinim b'shem shemayim, they read and they learn the ideas of the Torah for the sake of heaven. V'yiro b'levovim, and the awe of Hashem, the fear of Hashem is implanted in their hearts. V'machzikim divrei Torah b'fihem, and they're holding on to the words of Torah, they say the words of Torah, they memorize the words of Torah, they think about the words of Torah, so they're hanging on to the words of Torah. V'mekayim lehem aposuk, and they fulfill the verse. These students and these teachers fulfill the verse which says, Tov legeva ki yisrael benurov. They fulfill the verse. It's a verse in Eicha that says, it's good for a man to carry a yoke in his youth. The yoke referred to in that verse is the yoke of Torah. A person who's in his youth is when he's still in high energy, he's still young, he's still got lots of energy, so he really takes on the yoke of Torah in his youth. From his youth, you know, he really commits himself to the yoke of Torah, to take on the yoke of Torah. So then, that's called Tov. Then he will benefit from this. The point of the verse is that if a person starts young, it's even better for him when he's older. If a person only starts when he's older, hence also gets the benefit. Right? Whenever we can start, whenever we can engage, the more we have, you know, the more of a track record, the longer we've been doing it, and the more of a track record we have, so then the better off we are. So it's like one person has been in business 30 years, and one guy's been only he's a newcomer. So we understand the guy's there for 30 years. He's got an advantage. Therefore, if a person starts learning Torah as young as possible, and he sticks to it, and he hangs on to it, so then there's much more blessing. Right? That's why it's called toiv. It's toiv for a person to engage as much as possible from as early as possible. Kach kaviyochel afilu hein yishalis kol ha'ulam kuloi b'sha'achas. And therefore, these who sit and learn Torah, even if they will ask for the entire world, a person sitting and learning Torah, he suddenly turns to Hashem, he says, give me the whole world. He says, give me the whole world. Who knows in him, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give him the whole world. Normally what happens, a person is occupied in learning Torah, he's not so interested in having the whole world. He's more interested in understanding the Torah. But if that's what he wants, the person wants the whole world, Hashem will give him the whole world. Because this person is mummy pushing all the buttons. He's doing exactly what Hashem wants. Hashem is prepared to give him whatever he really wants. But Yosef, moreover, Now, even though a person who is a Torah scholar will be running away from honor and glory, because he's not interested, he's interested in serving Hashem. He's not interested in gaining honor and glory from himself, right? Because obviously, if he's doing it properly, so he's working for the honor of Hashem. He's working to learn the Torah. He wants to learn Torah. You know, if you're being honored all the time, if everyone's asking you for your autograph every 2 seconds, how can you learn Torah? If people are knocking at your door every 5 minutes and they want to honor you, so then when are you going to learn Torah? So even a genuine Torah scholar is a person who normally naturally runs away from honor. He's not looking for attention. He's not looking for applause. He's not looking for public acclaim. If a person is running after honor and he wants recognition, he wants prestige, it's impossible that he be occupied in Torah. The one takes away from the other. If you're running after honor, then you're not running after Torah. If you engage in learning Torah, then you have to do that. You have to do it with a single-mindedness. You can't be running after honor at the same time. A person who's looking for honor and prestige can't keep his Torah at all. You can't really. It's a balancing act. You can't be learning Torah and also looking for prestige at the same time. That certainly is not possible. Like the sages have taught, right? Al tavakesh gdula l'atzmacha. The sages have told us, don't seek greatness for yourself. Al tachmoid kovod. Don't long for, don't desire prestige. Ki ha'odom osulo l'ifno yisnaitu l'zeklal. The person shouldn't turn his mind to this at all. It's just a distraction. It takes his mind out of his learning, and he can lose his learning, he can forget his learning if the person starts going for honor and prestige. Omnom, however, now even though the way of a Torah scholar is that he's not looking for prestige and honor at all, however, the reality is as follows. God la'etzi is Baal Shemoy. This is Hashem's brilliant plan for this world as follows. Hashem gives him great joy and he gives him tremendous respect and honor against his wishes. The reality is as follows. An ideal Torah scholar is not looking for honor at all, and Hashem sends him this honor. Even though he doesn't want it, even though it's something that he's not interested in, he sends him his honor, he sends his respect, he sends his recognition, people acknowledge him, people stand up for him, people show him proper affection and respect. As it says there in the Tanur B'Eliyahu, blessed Hashem, blessed is he, shebocha b'chachom b'talmideim, that he chooses the sages, and he chooses the scholars and the students. Just like they sit in the shuls in the Beit Midrash every single day, they sit and learn for the honor of heaven, with the fear of Hashem in their hearts, and they're saying the words of Torah in their mouth, and with joy they accept on themselves the yoke of heaven's rule, the government of the kingdom of heaven. The same way, right, corresponding to Kodesh Boch, so too Hashem sends them all sorts of benefits, all sorts of joys, all sorts of happiness, all sorts of wonderful things happen to them, even though they're not even looking for it. Things that they don't want come to them at all. And that includes honor. So therefore we find that these Torah scholars who are not looking for honor, they're the ones who are most honored of them all. The Kamaim Akosov. And this is as we learn from the pasuk in Tehillim that says, "Achtoi v'chesed yedufuni kol yomei chayai." David HaMelech, who was an amazing, amazing Torah scholar, and he was the leader of his generation, and he was the Torah leader of his generation, and he's one of the links in the chain of the Torah transmission from generation to generation. So, what did David HaMelech say about himself? "Achtoi v'chesed yedufuni." Goodness and kindness pursues me; it's chasing after me. I walk down the street, people are running after me to give me, here, I want to give you money, I want to give you money, I want to give you honor, I want to give you goods, right? He said, they chase after me to give me things I don't even want. He said, the guy comes up to him, here, take $1 million, here, take $10 million, here, take, let me write you a check, please, leave me alone. So that, achtoi v'chesed yedufuni, the goodness and the kindness pursues the Torah scholars, kol yomei chayoi, all the days of my life. David HaMelech said that about himself, that he had this goodness and this prestige and this honor, and this love and affection, I'm just chasing after him all the days of his life. Which is to say, David HaMelech is saying that even though I run away from these types of things, I'm running away from Hashem's honor, they run after me, they chase after me against my will.